Well, this is the last of our June series, Identity Matters. And again, depending on how you want to say that, identity matters. There are identity matters that we need to deal with in our lives. And our identities matter as we consider who we are, whose we are, what our existence means. And we've been looking at that from the very first time that we met, finding that our existence goes back to where we began. Our identity is already grounded and founded in the one who made us in his image. And we've been working our way through how that changed even there in the garden, and how we are set free even from all that. And today we're going to look at the idea of identity matters when your life is in Christ. And that's what we've been trying to determine all along. What does life in Christ look like? What does it mean for us? And so this morning we're going to focus on two passages with a whole bunch of other ones as well. But if you have a Bible, either in your hand or if you got one on your phone, I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21 to start. And that's where we're going to begin looking at the difference life in Christ makes for us. So 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 16, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Paul has been talking about what awaits us. He's been trying to talk to the Corinthian people here about our life in Christ. And so after talking through a number of different things and how we find ourselves in him, and how even Paul and the others with him recognize that because they are in Christ, they are totally different. There's something profoundly different about them. So at verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, according to a worldly standard, a worldly way of view. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. Not counting their sins against them. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through you and me. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Sometimes I read Scripture and I think whatever I might try to add to it is just going to ruin it. I read those things, and if I understand what it's saying, those are incredibly powerful words of identity for me. What I am in Christ, who I am in Christ, what I was before. We, as people that are in Christ, are completely different people. We are totally different. You've heard me explain the transformation that a caterpillar has into a butterfly. It is totally different. You would not recognize it before. That, brothers and sisters, is what you are in Christ. You were one way before, and now you're another way. You're different. So much so that people almost shouldn't recognize you. Characteristically, there should be something profoundly different about us. We used to say, or we've heard it said, well, we're only human, right? Ever heard that or used that phrase? In Christ, you are not. Technically, you are not only human ever. When we were created, we were created as a physical body. God gathered the dust of the earth and made the image of a man. And then He put another aspect of our existence together with that. He breathed His Spirit into us. And so we are not only human in the way that you might be understanding it. We are connected to a divine nature as well. We are not just human. Paul said, we used to think of people that way. We used to even think of Christ in this worldly point of view of an existence that's only given substance in this world. We thought He was just like us in some ways. We thought of His ministry from a worldly perspective, but we don't do that any longer. We're not just that way. In fact, Paul would say in Galatians at chapter 3, for in Christ Jesus, you're not just only human. Galatians 3:26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You are a son or daughter in Christ. When you are in Christ, you belong to Him. You are a child of His through faith. Ephesians chapter 4, I love, we did a series here on Ephesians, and I keep referring back to it, don't I? Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 21, you were taught in Him to put off your old self, this earthly way of thinking about yourself. You were taught to put off your old self because we are different. We are becoming different. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I've said it before. I'll keep telling you over and over. My life before I realized who I was in Christ was not righteousness and holiness. I can give you examples all day long of how that was not me, even though I was raised in the church. I went to Sunday school. I went to catechism. I went to Christian school. I was involved in different things that should have been solidifying this image of Christ in me. And yet there was still this unrighteousness and unholiness that was in me. But in Christ, I am a completely different person. I would never have thought to stand before you in my days of unrighteousness and unholiness. Never a chance. But I am a different person. And you are, as you are in Christ, you are a completely different person. There has been a radical change, and that change continues in us. But we are completely different people. Also, when your life is in Christ, you no longer bear the burden of your sin. You imagine that? You are guilty of everything you have done. I am guilty of all the things that I have done. If we would read the Ten Commandments and go through the list, I would be guilty of every one. Every one of them. I don't know if you would be, but I am. I was. But I have been set free from that. Verse 19. Not counting their trespasses against them. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their sins against them. How does He do that? I'm guilty of that. There is this wonderful exchange, and that's the language that Paul is using here, this reconciling. I'll give you what I have. I'll take what you have. Your sinful nature, the punishment, the guilt that belongs to you, I'll take that. I'll give you righteousness. That's a good trade. We don't bear the burden of our sins. Colossians chapter 1, at verse 13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's that same contract that He takes on Himself. I'll take you out of darkness. I'll bring you into light. I'll trade you from where you were to where I want you to be when you are in Christ. And it only happens as we are in Christ. And we have redemption and forgiveness. I am so grateful for the redemption and the forgiveness of God. First Peter talks about this release of our sin this way. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You were ransomed. I will pay whatever it costs to take you out of your sins, which Paul said in Ephesians after this wonderful introduction of what it is to be in Christ, to be in Him. The very next thing, just so people wouldn't forget where we came from before we are in Christ, he says, you were dead. You were dead in your sins. But I have taken you from there and I've brought you into a place of life, to a place where you are now ransomed, set free, and you don't care the burden. You don't carry the burden of your sin any longer. Ephesians 1 says that. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Everything that would bind us before in what we deserved, you have been set free from in Christ. You have been ransomed, redeemed, you have been purchased, you have been reconciled, the price for your sin has been paid. All of that happens, and it frees us from the burden of our sin. You also, when your life is in Christ, you have significance. Our world is looking for a place where they can find some sort of significance in their own existence, and they look in all the wrong places too often. Wrong relationships, wrong ways of treating their bodies. There's so many ways in which we look for things. We look for it in money, in power, in relationships, all of these things outside of Christ. Because we want to have some sort of an identity that says that we are significant in the world. Very few people probably want to be so insignificant that they hardly even exist. What kind of life is that? I would imagine most people, if they could think of their life, to have some sort of substance in existence that makes them have an identity that has some sort of purpose, some sort of significance. So listen to the significance that we have. You are united with Christ. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If we have an identity in his death, how much more isn't that identity in his resurrection as well? We have righteousness in Christ. You remember my sinful past? You remember yours? That's not yours in Christ. We have righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You are also secure in Christ. One of the things that we long for as well is security. And people look for it in all the things that we've talked about and anymore. We have security in Christ. A powerful, famous, popular, beloved verse for many people. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once you are in him, he will not let you go. That's his promise. Jesus said to his disciples, I have not lost any that my Father has given to me. And my Father, who's greater than I, he doesn't lose any either. When you are in Christ, you stay there. That's where he wants you to be. That is his goal for you. We are also alive in him. We have life and significance in his name. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And you have been transformed, right? You have been transformed by him and for him. The other passage that I wanted to quickly focus on too is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There's something that happens to us when we are in Christ. Not only are you not the same anymore, you are completely different. Not only, and the list just keeps getting better, not only are you a new person, not only are you free from your sins, not only do you have significance in his name, life in him, but you also have been transformed for a purpose in him as well. You are transformed to go out and be his child. You know, Jesus came here on earth and he walked among his people. Many did not accept him. But he came so that people's lives would be transformed. Christ came in the flesh like us so that people's lives could be transformed to be like his life. And now you are the body of Christ. You are. He is the head. He leads us. He guides us. He informs us. He instructs us. He gives us all of these things. You are the body of Christ now. You are the one to carry out the work. You've been transformed to carry that out. You and I get to bring reconciliation, as it said here, a ministry of reconciliation to the world. We get to tell people what I've told you this morning, what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks now. You have such a significance in this world that you don't maybe understand. But that's what Christ did for us. That's what he brought about by his perfect life, the death that he gave so that he would carry your sins. He rose from the dead so that he would conquer sin and the effects of sin and the power of death and hell over you. He set you free from all that so you can be his ambassadors for him. We're not here just waiting until the kingdom comes. We are children living in the kingdom now. And we have work to do. And he has transformed us to do that. I could have never done it myself. And I couldn't have done it if I gathered all of you together to do it in our own human flesh. We couldn't do it. We couldn't accomplish it. I've tried that before. I've tried to even atone for my own sins and I can't do it. How am I going to bring a ministry of reconciliation to the world, even if I gathered all my other sinful friends? But in him, it's a different story. In him, we have his spirit living in us that will do that. We're gonna come up and sing about that it isn't us who do these things. It's not I, but it's Christ that lives in me, as we were reading about. So if you understand all of that, I'd invite you to stand and give your testimony to this as well, that it isn't me, it's Christ in me, not yet I. Not yet I, but Christ in me. And that's on the back of your bulletin.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom.
All of this here brings us to the table. This table, a table where we celebrate what Christ has done for us, in us, through us. It's a complete message here. It's what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. That at the dawn of time, God created mankind to live with Him in perfect harmony, to live with one another in perfect harmony. And so quickly, that was changed. mankind fell into sin. And I have participated in that. Not only did I inherit that nature within me, that kind of marks who I am, but I have willfully participated in sinning against my Father. And so have you. I have this way about me that would like to try to either fix it or cover it up. Either hide a plate in a box or try to earn back what I have done wrong. And neither one had worked. Everything that I would do in my life would continue to show that I am still completely cut off from Him in a way that I can't get back to Him on my own. But God, being rich in mercy, because that's His nature, that's His character, He made a way, He paved a way back to Him. He sent the perfect representative for me and for you. Somebody that had to be just like us walked this earth in a human body and had to experience all of the trials and temptations of life. He sent His Son, Jesus, to walk among us. He did not have an easy life. He was ridiculed by the people that should have accepted Him first. But oddly enough, it was people like you and me, sinners, that seemed to be rushing into the kingdom because they saw what could happen when they have time with Jesus and accept what He has to give. He was that perfect sacrifice, but that meant He had to pay the penalty for my sin and yours. Now, if you've ever listened to a court case and the verdicts that are handed down and the sentences that they get, and that's just when we put them in prison. From years ago, and in other places in the world, your punishment is a physical one. And so when Jesus became that punishment for us, He had to endure all that everybody had ever done and ever would do. And He would endure that in His flesh. The only way He could do that is because He was also God Himself. He was able to stand up to that punishment because I couldn't. And even if I was punished for my sin, they wouldn't release me from that because I would do it again. But Christ took the punishment in His flesh like one of us, and He endured it because He was Almighty God, the perfect sacrifice. And He has now set you and me free from our sins. And by His resurrection, not just by His life, not just by His death, but by His resurrection, you have been set free from your sins. You are no longer captive to your sin unless you choose to go back. But that's what we were singing about here. That's what we're talking about here. I don't want to go back to who I was. Once I realize who I am in Christ, I don't want to go back to who I was before. I want to be in Him. I want to receive what He has. And so with that gift that He gave of His own sacrifice on the cross, He calls us to a new life. It's that transformed life. It's what we talk about in the catechism, being wholeheartedly willing from now on to live for Him. I believe we've talked about it before. Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. He will take care of your daily existence. Your focus and my focus is transformed living. That's what we're celebrating here today. When Jesus was at that last time with His disciples, He took two ordinary things of their daily existence. He took bread. He gave thanks for it. It was going to be the representation of His body given for us, broken for us. The pain that He would have to endure in His body, He would give to us as a remembrance of that. He took a cup of wine, a pitcher of that that they had at the table, and he would pour that out. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." See, they all understood that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So he said, "It'll be mine. It'll be my blood. My blood for yours. I will take what belongs to you, and I will take it upon myself. And the sacrifice that's required from your flesh, I will take that. When your body should be destroyed, it will be mine. When your blood should be shed, it will be mine." And so he invited them into a place of communion. "I'll give you my body, my righteousness, in place of your sin." That's what we're going to do today. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been a part of this for the last 4 weeks, if you're here today and this just resonates with who you are, if you understand this completely, if it is already your life's profession to be in Christ, to be one of His children, you are invited to partake of this. And today, I want this to be significant for you. We talk about when we take the elements and we consume them. We talk about remembering. I want to bring you to a place today that's more than just remembering. I want you to take this, and I want you to make this your declaration once again today, that the blood of Christ has set me free from everything I have ever done and everything I ever will do, because I hide my life in Christ. This is your day today to say, "I am in Christ and He is in me, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to make that declaration to myself once again today, that it is Christ who set me free. And I'm going to take it before all of you, and it's going to be my testimony to you that Christ has set me free. And you're going to take it. And that's the mindset you are going to take it with today. I am making my declaration today that I am in Christ." You know, the Bible uses that phrase in the New Testament, either in Christ or in Him, 187 times. It's a powerful statement. And so you are invited to partake of this. I'd like to ask the elders to come up. We're just going to pass this along here. And just hold on to it until it's time. And we will then partake of this unity in Him together. We will together make the declaration that because of what Jesus has done for us, I am in Him. And that will be my life's profession. That's the mindset and the spirit with which we take this today. I should tell you too, if you're a visitor, when the tray comes by of the cup, the inner circle, you will see a difference. The inner circle is grape juice. The outer circle is a cup of wine, in that tradition of the way Jesus and His disciples would have shared that. But be aware of that. If you need the grape juice, take that. took bread. And he said, "This is my body. As you take it today, and before we take it, I want you to say, I am in Christ." So take his body. I am in Christ. A new covenant in the blood of Christ. It's all on him. You only need to believe. And so as you take your cup, I want you to say, I belong to him. I have been set free. So take the cup. I belong to him. I have been set free. I'd ask you to stand as we sing about that in just a moment. It will be, what will it be?
Page 13
in your songbook. As you consider what Christ can do for you, what he has done for you, and how transforming his work can be in you, I want you to go with this assurance and this declaration that you can make your own as well. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all you could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is it at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen? Amen. Amen. It is in Christ alone.